In 412 BC, after the Sicilian disaster is announced in the Aegean world, when Athens suffers a major setback, which changes the whole strategic situation in the Aegean. Then cities rebel across the Aegean, and these are not just oligarchies. These, almost all of these cities at this point are democracies and have been democracies. And in some instances, these states will restructure themselves along oligarchic lines to win Spartan and Persian support. This is indicative of a notion of the notions of freedom and autonomy trumping the specifics of one's own constitution. And the Athenians, in their actions, in many, many ways, were trampling on those cherished notions of freedom and autonomy. And if you think of it for a moment, that's what the Delian League had been set up to protect. I mean, the reason it was set up in the first place was to assist all these Greek city-states that had rebelled from Persia, and the idea was to protect their freedom and autonomy from the Persian king, and now Athens was acting as a tyrant city. And in this regard, the Athenians knew themselves far better than many of their modern apologists. They made no bones about the fact that they were imperialist, and in several points along the way in Thucydides' account, we'll discuss instances where they admit this quite frankly, that it is our right to rule because we are strong and we took that right. Thucydides himself puts the blame chiefly on the allies. I mentioned in an earlier lecture that the structure of the league lent itself to Athenian coercion. But in Thucydides' opinion, the reason why the Athenians took over so rapidly in the 450s wasn't just the setback in Egypt, but in general, the allies weren't willing to do the fighting from the 450s on. The Athenians took over the task. And when the Athenians pressed them for money, the allies revolted. And this is how Thucydides puts it. The chief reasons for these revolts, meaning by the allies, were failures to produce the right amount of tribute or the right numbers of ships, and sometimes a refusal to produce any ships at all. For the Athenians insisted on obligations being exactly met. And he's right on this. As everything I've told you, the Athenians are litigious and very, very much strict to the letter of the law. I, as a native New Yorker, of course, appreciate this outlook. I assume that this is normal. And made themselves unpopular by bringing the severest pressure to bear on allies who were not used to making sacrifices and did not want to make them. In other ways, too, the Athenians as rulers were no longer popular, as they used to be. They bore more than their fair share of the actual fighting, but this made it all the easier for them to force back into the alliance any state that wanted to leave it. For this position, it was the allies themselves who were to blame. And Thucydides makes no hesitation about this here. He states it in other points in the history. Because of this reluctance of theirs to face military service, most of them, to avoid serving abroad, had assessments made by which instead of producing ships, they were to pay a corresponding sum of money. The result was that the Athenian navy grew strong at their expense, and when they revolted, they always found themselves inadequately armed and inexperienced in war. And that is, the money went to the sustaining of the Athenian fleet, and in the end, Athens had the military power to do as she wishes. This is a very important aspect in the development of this Delian League and contrasts a great deal from the arrangements made in the Peloponnesian League. And that is that the Peloponnesian League still represented some form of consensus on the part of the allies. Sparta would have to summon those allies. There were constitutional procedures in declaring war and carrying out any important decision. That meant the Athenian Empire, in my opinion, was unpopular, not just among the literate classes who favored aristocracy. Figures such as the old oligarch who wrote this tract in the 440s, condemning the Athenian Empire, but condemning it quite eloquently, saying, I disagree with democracy and I disagree with the Athenian Empire, but look at how cleverly they do it. And he gives a very, very good critique of many of the imperial institutions, which are borne out by the inscriptions. But the general classes throughout the Greek world probably didn't have close ties to Athens. Now, there were some exceptions. Many of the lesser states, whenever the situation got complicated, and this is true in the later Peloponnesian War, a smaller state might remain loyal to Athens, not so much because they preferred democracy or they liked the Athenians, but they feared their larger neighbor more. And there are a number of instances in the later stages of the Peloponnesian War that we will encounter when Athens finds herself with a whole series of rebellions on her hands,